I'm going to ask you to turn with me this morning to page 859 in your Bible, which would be Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 24. Somebody left a red jacket at our home last night. This is a lady's jacket. It's Roseanne's. Roseanne, first of all, I want to tell you the $50 bill that was in the pocket, Sherry has it, but there's the jacket. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 24, page 859. Stand with me this morning as we read God's word together. I keep rubbing the pages on this Bible, but the print doesn't get any bigger. So, beginning in verse 24. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Thank you so much. God bless you. You know, I think at every job interview, you always run into that question from your prospective employer, what are your greatest strengths and weaknesses? And I can tell you as a pastor, I think probably what my greatest weakness is, at least in my opinion, and is counseling. Now, I don't want anybody to think, well, that the pastor doesn't want any of us to talk to him about our problems. That's not what I'm saying. So let me elaborate a little bit, okay? I have read several books on counseling. I have been in counseling myself. And over the years, I have attempted to counsel many other people. I have met with people for premarital counseling. I've met with people who were needed mid-marital counseling. I've met with those who needed post-marital counseling. I met the first church I ever pastored. I met with a couple who lost their first child through a miscarriage. I have met with couples who are having financial issues, parents who were struggling with a child, those suffering the loss of a job, someone who is suffering the loss of a spouse, couples attempting to piece their marriage together after an affair, couples who have gone through bankruptcy, couples who have lost their businesses that they invested their life, their money, their time into. So I've been in a lot of counseling situations. So I don't want anybody to think, well, he doesn't like to counsel. Here is the area that I feel is my weakness. First of all, each and every counseling situation is unique. There's no one-fits-all solution. As many counseling books as I have read and many examples that they use, it seems like every counseling session ends with everybody happy. That has not been my experience. I've counseled with couples who were struggling with their marriage who ended up going through a divorce. So it doesn't, there's no, this is always the way it's going to end. I have counseled with people that made it apparent to me that they viewed counseling as a waste of time. They didn't want to be there. They were there because somebody was forcing them to be there. They were there because a judge sent them there, or a spouse sent them there, or a child sent them there, or a parent. But as far as wanting to be there, they had no interest. And that makes it very difficult to counsel with somebody who's not interested in the counseling. I've also been in counseling situations where it just dragged on for month after month after month. And you realize that there's not going to be an end to this. There's something more that is being desired here rather than just counseling. And I've also met with people that it seemed like you as the counselor were more invested in the outcome than they were as the counselee. that you realize you're putting more into it than they are. And in doing so, you realize that you are carrying their cross. And I want to hit that again. You are carrying their cross. Because our text tells us that one day a man was coming into Jerusalem from the country. It doesn't tell us why. But he was just walking along, minding his own business, and suddenly he was brought into a situation that he had nothing to do with, and he was compelled, forced, to carry someone else's cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. In Mark 15, 21, they compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And then we read today in Luke chapter 23, verse 26, as they led him away, speaking of Jesus, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us that we are called to carry our cross, that every one of us have a cross that we're to bear. And by having a cross in which to bear, we misconstrue this sometimes. We think, oh, the situation I'm going through, that's my cross to bear. My rebellious child, that's my cross to bear. My bankruptcy, that's my cross bearer. That is not what the Bible is talking about when it calls us to carry our cross. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. Luke 14, verse 27, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus is not talking about the situation you're going through as being your cross, your burden to bear. Jesus is talking about a lifestyle of commitment to Christ and to where that takes us, the situations in life that takes us to. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. But what about Simon? He was not carrying his cross. He was carrying the cross of someone else. He was carrying the cross of Jesus. Simon was not going to be crucified on that cross. Jesus was. Simon was not the one responsible for that cross. Jesus was. This was not Simon's cross. It belonged to Jesus, and yet Simon was compelled to carry the cross. He was simply, someone might say, that Simon was an innocent bystander who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Have you ever been Simon? Have you ever been compelled to carry someone else's cross? And so what I want to spend some time with a few minutes this morning, and I'm going to make this as rapidly as I possibly can, I want to talk to you about carrying someone else's cross. And I want to begin with this. That there is a difference between bearing someone else's cross and being an enabler. And sometimes we miss that mark. An enabler is someone who encourages or enables negative or self-destructive behavior in someone else by providing excuses for them or by making it possible for them to avoid the consequences of their behavior. It is not rescuing someone. It is not excusing someone. It is not taking care of someone. It is not trying to keep them from facing the consequences of their actions. That is not carrying someone else's cross. And I will tell you, as a parent, it is so difficult not to pick up the cross of your child or your grandchild. Because we love them. We want them to avoid pain. We want them to avoid consequences. We want to protect them. We want to, whatever I can do. And so rather than carrying the cross, we become an enabler and we pick up the cross, the situation in their lives that was to teach them maturity and allow them to grow, and we allow them to stay in that bubble because we keep protecting them. Now you can look at your husband and say, he's not talking about us, honey. Somebody needs to hear this, but it's not me. Galatians chapter 6, Paul said this beginning in verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. And listen to this next part that Paul added. For each one will bear his own load. Carrying the cross is not meant to be a lifetime experience in which you and I protect someone and face the consequences for them and try to keep them from suffering. You know, they tell us that the caterpillar in the cocoon, when it comes that time for it to break out of that cocoon, it begins to struggle, and it begins to wriggle, and it begins to try to break through that cocoon. And that if you want to sabotage the life of the butterfly, break open the cocoon so it can get right out. Because the part of the struggle is to strengthen that butterfly's wings so when it comes out of the cocoon, it is able to fly. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible talks about that the eagle, the mother eagle, stirs up the nest of her young eagles. When the eagle builds a nest, it builds the nest with briars and thorns, but then it covers it with feathers and down so that it's very comfortable for the eggs and then the baby eagles. But there comes a time in which the baby eagle needs to learn to fly. And so the mother begins to scrape away all the feathers and all the protection. So the baby eagle now begins to feel the thorns and the briars, and it begins to compel the baby eagle that I want to get out of this nest. Now, I don't want to belabor the point, but if you and I make it a lifetime of carrying the cross for someone else, we sabotage that person. So how then do we bear the cross for someone else? Well, we bear the cross as encouragers. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That word spur that the writer of Hebrews used, it comes from the Greek word meaning to sharpen. So when we meet other believers, we meet other people, we're to sharpen them. We're to spur them on. We're to encourage them. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So the question we have to ask is, the relationships that we're in right now in which we are in a cross-bearing burden for someone else, is it making us sharper? Is it making them sharper? Or is it dulling both of us? Are we encouraging them? Are we spurring them on? Are we saying, you can do this? Come on, take the leap. You can do it. Spread your wings and fly. Or are we saying, are we pushing out or are we getting sucked in? We bear the cross to build up. Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says, we who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. But then he added this part, each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up our neighbor. We bear the cross in a seasonal time period, not to keep somebody down, but to bear them up. Our call is to build up our neighbor, our friend, our relative, our family member, so they get strong enough so that they can bear up someone else. It is not our role to carry somebody else's cross as long as they live. It is our role to bear the cross for a time period as we encourage them, as we exhort them, as we build them up, as we strengthen their faith, so that they then can become somebody who bears the cross for someone else for a time period. Thirdly, we bear the cross in order to release others. Paul, formerly known as Saul, as we read the book of Acts, was the number one enemy of the church. He went about arresting people who were believers, bringing them to Jerusalem, where they would be tried, where they would be killed. He felt it was God's call on his life. But Saul had what in Acts, the beginning of Acts chapter 9, a Damascus Road experience in which Saul found Christ as his Savior and as his Lord. And then he became known as Paul. But the Bible tells us that Paul decided, after being a believer, after preaching, that he wanted to go to Jerusalem and spend time there, introduce himself to the disciples, to the leaders of the church. And they wouldn't receive him. They were afraid of him. They said, "This is Saul, the persecutor. He's just trying to infiltrate us. He's trying to find out who is who so he can arrest us." They would have nothing to do with him. They shunned him. They kept him away. But there was a man who was one of the early followers of Christ, according to the book of Acts, not a disciple, but a follower, by the name of Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement. And Barnabas took upon himself to go find Saul and to bring him to Jerusalem, to the church, and to vouch for him, to stand for him. And listen how it turns out. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. When Paul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road Paul had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. And now listen to the end of the story. So Paul went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. What did Barnabas do? Barnabas took Paul under his wing. He said, "I'm going to carry this cross for you for a little while, Paul." He brings him. He stands and vouches for him. He says, "I know this man. I know his ministry. I know his works. I know his life. He's not the guy he used to be. This is a different man." And what did it do? It allowed Paul to be released into his own destiny, into his own purpose. What if Barnabas had said, "Now, Paul, listen, we all know your reputation, and we're going to let you in, but you know, Paul, I'm going to just kind of keep an eye on you, and Paul, you come to me, and Paul, I'm going to take care of everything for you." No, they released him so that he could fulfill his own destiny, his own purpose. Carrying the cross for someone else is seasonal. It's not your calling to bear the cross for someone else for the rest of your life or the rest of their life. It's seasonal. It is to release them. It is to mentor them. It is to show someone how to live a victorious life in Christ. And you and I have to, as mature believers, look at the relationships that we are in, and we have to look at them and say, am I bearing the cross for them in an effort to help them? And if so, I know there's going to be a time limit on it. Or am I bearing the cross for them because I can't stand to see them hurt? I know there'll be a lot of tape orders for this one, Yvonne, so I can just tell. Simon was going about his own business. He didn't come into Jerusalem looking for what happened. But in a moment's time, all of that changed. And in a moment's time, it can change for you and I. You and I have appointments ahead of us in which there will be times in which we are called to bear someone's cross. But we have to keep in mind that Simon bared the cross for a time period, but he never took ownership of the cross. It was still the cross of Christ. You and I are called to encourage, to exhort, to build up, to release people. And in doing so, there are seasons in which we bear their cross. We come along beside them. We say, you know, I'm going to bear this cross for you. You stay with me. I'm going to bear this cross for you, but I'm bearing this cross to you with the realization that in a period of time, I'm handing it back over. I wasn't called to bear your cross and mine. So I'm going to hand this back over to you. So as we come to the table of communion this morning, and this is the thought I've struggled with all week, how does this fit in with communion? As we come to the table today, some of us need to kneel at this altar and say, Lord, I release my son. I can't protect him any longer. I release my daughter. I release my grandchild. I release this situation. Whatever it is, whoever it is, I can't bear this any longer. It's not my cross. So, Lord, give me the courage to lay that cross at your cross. Father, we recognize that it is so easy for us, because we love people, because we are believers, because, Lord, we are people of faith and people of hope. It's so easy for us to see those who are down, those who are broken, those who are hurting. It's so easy for us to come along and pick up the cross. And before long, Father, we've taken ownership of the cross. And it wasn't our cross. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to release others so that their dependency is not on us, their dependency is on you. Because, Lord, in releasing them to bear their own cross, it releases them, Father, to look to you. And it releases us to look to you as well and say, Father, the best thing I can do for them is to keep praying for them. To keep encouraging, to keep exhorting, but to keep releasing. Help us, Father. As we come to this cross today, help us to recognize and to realize that Simon did bear your cross for a season, for a period of time. He never said, this is my cross. Help us, Lord, to have that same discernment, that same wisdom, that same faith. In Jesus' name, amen.